It's a real pleasure to introduce to you again Brother Andy Briggs. He's one of our missionaries that serves in Latvia. In fact, Brother Andy was the first missionary we took on, apart from those that we support through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And we did that as a church before, I think if I'm remembering right, before we ever met him. We did it on the strength of Brother Gene and Straya being his mom and dad and talking about how good their son was as a missionary. No, I'm just teasing them. But we got to know him through them and decided as a church that we wanted to be one of his supporters, not only financially but in prayer. And so he's on our prayer sheet every week, on our prayer sheet in the bulletin. And we send a check to help with his monthly support. Got to meet him. I remember the first time he came home, Gene and Straya invited me over to their house and got to spend some time with them, getting to meet him and Linda and the kids. And Emily, by the way, is engaged. Their daughter is getting married next June in Chicago. And Linda's over there with her shopping for wedding dresses. That's why she's not here with Andy this morning. But it's a real pleasure to welcome him and have him back. And for you that haven't heard him preach. He built a church building in Latvia, and you think it's hard to build a church building over here? You ought to see what they put you through over there. I remember the last time he was here, he talked about all the regulations that he had to meet. But again, Andy, it's so good to have you this morning. Mary Ann is going to come and sing for us, and then when she gets done, Brother Andy, you come share with us what the Lord's laid on your heart.
I was going to enjoy my birthday dinner Mom and Dad were going to buy for me today, but after hearing what they did to help me find support here, I think I should buy them dinner. Thanks. Hey, your parking lot looks great. That wasn't here last time I was here. We pulled up, and man, that really makes a difference out there. And I see you've got a new back row. And a couple back rows. Praise the Lord. And how God's blessing here. It's great to see. And I'm very thankful for you. Thankful for your support, for your prayers. You know, today in Latvia, already earlier today, 7 hours earlier, a group of believers in Latvia had communion, just like you did on this day of the month. And the last Sunday of the month, they also have communion, remember our Lord. And that's also a time of unity because it's something that the church does together. And it's interesting to see and to know that Christians around the world do that. And it's something that we have in unity, remembering our Lord and Savior. But I send greetings from the church in Latvia, from my wife, my kids. They can't all be here today, but I'm very thankful for the opportunity, for the invitation to be able to come and preach today. Today we're going to look in Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, we have the parable of the sower. Sometimes we think it's the parable of, and it is, the parable of the ground. Sometimes it's the parable of the seed, but Jesus calls us the parable of the sower. And so we're going to look at it, and we want to look at it in the different facets that we can see today, and may God apply His Word to our hearts. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that You've given us. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Father, I pray that You would open our understanding, open our hearts. Father, I pray that if there's one here today that doesn't know You as Savior, Father, that You would be gracious, Father, that You would be merciful and that You would open their eyes, Father. Give them eyes to see and ears to hear, and Father, a heart to believe. And Father, we pray that You'll strengthen believers, Father. Give us courage in our witnessing and in our ministry, Father. Help us not to be weary in well-doing. Father, I pray that You'll bless this time, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go ahead and read some scripture. Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to read from verse 1 all the way to 23. Okay, that's not too much. Starting in chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "The same day, went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowl came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Amen. I want to begin looking at this passage today, and I want to talk about those, from the beginning here, those with hardened hearts. Those with hardened hearts. People who are hearing God's word, but they're not receiving it into their heart. It's because they don't have the right heart attitude towards God. Maybe they hear the things of God and they listen so that they can find fault. They read so that they can look for contradictions. They're only interested in taking in the Word of God so that they can point and say, aha, there's the problem with it. Hearts that have a completely wrong attitude towards the message and towards God. Definitely not doers of the word. And the message that was preached in this parable and in this time of Jesus' life is the message of the gospel, the word of the kingdom. And this is the seed that's talked about here. And we talked about this also, Pastor did, in Sunday school. And what a good time in Sunday school it was. A lot of good information, a lot of things, one after another in Sunday school. Thanks for that. Spoke to my heart. He also said, following God, following Christ is an adventure. And yes, it is. And I looked over at my son and said, it is an adventure. It is an adventure. But here we also talked about the preaching of the word of the kingdom, the preaching of the gospel. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ. This is the message that people of Jesus' day was hearing, but they weren't receiving. A lot of the Pharisees of that time, the religious leaders, their answer to repent and believe in Jesus Christ would be, hey, we're just fine. We've got everything we need. We don't need to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. People today say, I don't need Jesus. There are people that have that same answer. There are some of the Pharisees that would say, how dare you say that I'm a sinner? How dare you say that we need a Savior? How dare you say that something with my lifestyle is wrong? There's something wrong with it. How dare you do that? How dare you point a finger at me? How dare you say that I'm a sinner? Others in that group, they would say, you can't be the Christ. You're not the Christ. We don't believe in you. We don't believe you are who you say you are. We know where you're from, Nazareth. And they would reject Jesus Christ outright. Their hearts became calloused. And then their eyes became dull to where they couldn't see who Jesus Christ is, and their hearing they couldn't understand. And a fearful thing happened. Christ turned from them and he preached to others. He started to use parables, and he started to teach in parables now, so that those who didn't have the right attitude, those who wouldn't receive what he was saying, they couldn't understand it at all now. Now he's speaking in parables. Now they really, it's gone to those who understand. Those who have a heart to understand, they see in these parables an explanation of the kingdom of what's going on. But for those with the wrong heart attitude, it's completely, they're blind to it now. And actually, that's a fearful thing. Because what happened was, is Jesus left them to their doubt, to their unbelief, in their sins, and without salvation. There was a point where the hardness of their heart, they went too far. And it was a fearful thing that Jesus started to teach now in parables. Now, it's true today that Jesus comes and he speaks to people's hearts through the preaching, through God's Word, through gospel tracts. And there's many people today that have the same answer. How dare you say that I'm a sinner? How dare you say that I need to repent? I don't believe in Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, if God has spoken to your heart and you've had the opportunity to hear the gospel, open your heart to Jesus Christ today. Because maybe tomorrow he won't strive with you. There was a time in these Pharisees' lives where Jesus turned to others. So it's my encouragement today is to repent and believe the gospel. Be good hearers. Hearers that hear and understand. And when we're talking about understand, it's not just with the mind understand who Jesus is, but with the heart bringing it in. Today we had bread, and we put that bread in our mouth, we chewed it up, and we swallowed it. We partook of the wine, and we drank it. We took it in. And this is what it means to be a hearer that understands. You come to Christ and you take him in. Amen. In this parable of the sower, just for a moment, we're going to think about the sower, John the Baptist. He began this thing of the sower. He prepared the way. He preached repentance. Repent. And then Jesus Christ, the sower, came. He said, repent and believe. Believe in me. I am the Messiah, the one sent from God to be sacrificed for sins. I'll rise again. Everyone who believes in me will receive forgiveness and eternal life. Repent and believe. And this is the seed, and Christ was the sower. And then the disciples were the sower. They carried this on. Christ prepared them, and they took the seed into the world, and they sowed the message, repent and believe. Are there any sowers in the world today? You're the sower. You and I. We're the ones that go. Now we pick up this bag of seed and we go out into the world with the gospel message. Repent and believe. And this is the parable of the sower. And the word of the kingdom is the seed. Repent, believe, and trust in Jesus Christ. Receive Him as King and become part of His kingdom. Sow it everywhere. Jesus sowed the seed of the kingdom, the gospel. He preached, repent, and believe the gospel. He went to the country, even the countryside, and to the city, from the mountains to the seaside. And He preached the gospel. He preached it to religious leaders, and He preached it to tax collectors, which in that day, they weren't good people. He preached to soldiers. He preached to slaves. He preached to sinners, to Jews, to Samaritans. He sowed seed. He preached the gospel wherever He went. And Jesus gives us the Great Commission. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Sow the seed. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Are you a sower? He calls you to be. And one wonderful thing is that we can take up this bag of seed and we can join in this work that's been going on for centuries. Amen. And we can be part of this work, part of this call to be sowers. But listen, we can learn something from this, not from the situation. When Jesus gave this parable, listen, not all people believe the gospel. Well, you could say many people didn't believe the gospel. Maybe you could say most people who heard didn't believe the gospel. When John was preaching, many people came. Many people were baptized. And there were many who followed Christ. But there were many who didn't. At this time, when he begins to speak in parables, the religious leaders had rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. He came and he did miracles. And he lived a perfect and sinless life. He spoke with all wisdom. And they rejected him. He fulfilled all the prophecies. And they didn't believe. Some of his family members thought, hey, Jesus is kind of going off the deep end. Some of his followers at that time had turned their back on him and walked away from Jesus, the sower. And it probably, for his disciples, it probably hurt a little bit. And I would say for Christ, it probably hurt. Listen, who likes to be rejected here? Anybody like to be rejected? Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings, has come. And his disciples have seen him. They believed in him. And now they're with him. They're walking with him. They're following him. And Jesus is preaching. And they believe. And they think, everyone's going to believe. Of course they will.
He just fed 5,000.
And then they don't. And then they reject Christ. And then they mock him. And they ridicule him. And the people who should know best, the religious leaders, the experts, they rejected Christ. No, he's not the one. Some of his own followers, some of their own ranks, had turned their back and had stopped following Christ. I would imagine his disciples were like, oh, man. Are we right? I mean, everyone seems to be rejecting Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever felt that way? I mean, there are few that are going to walk the narrow road. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And sometimes when you're on that narrow road, you look around, maybe it's been you. Maybe you went, wow, is he who he says he is? And I would imagine there was this, the thought in these disciples' minds at the time of this parable when Jesus teaches this. And he says, look, if you look at this parable, 3/4 of the hearers in this parable never bore fruit. 3/4 of the seed that was sown never got to harvest. Most of the seed that was sown never got to harvest and bore fruit. And maybe Jesus is telling us, look, it's going to be that way. Don't worry about it. It's going to be that way. Lots of seed is scattered far and wide, and only 1/4 of it matured. But the ones who made it to harvest, more than a little bit, made up for the 3/4 of the seed that was lost. That 1/4 bore fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. I mean, it more than made up for the seed that just bounced off a hard ground and never bore fruit. It wasn't a waste. So I want to tell you, be encouraged. Be encouraged. At harvest time, it'll be clear the gospel is powerful. And it does have an effect. And it will bear fruit. And there will be a bountiful harvest. Don't be surprised about the 3/4. Jesus is teaching us. Jesus, the sower, was rejected and despised. And we follow him. Don't be discouraged if you witness to people and they slam the door in your face. Don't be discouraged if they take your track and look at you and smile and tear it in half. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged if people laugh at you, if they mock you, they make fun of you. If it seems like your efforts just fall on deaf ears. Don't quit because of that. Tell everyone you can about the gospel. While I'm home, I get to speak in different churches. I like to ask people, well, how'd you get saved? I'd be surprised how many times I hear people say, somebody gave me a tract. Guy said, I bought a home, and in the drawer of the new home in the kitchen, in the drawer, there was a tract, gospel tract. And I picked it up, I read it, and I felt, man, I need to trust Christ. And I gave it to my wife, and she got saved too. I talked to another fellow, I said, how did you get saved? He said, well, my dad told me about the gospel. He said, but one day, my dad, he wasn't a Christian, one day somebody invited him to church. He said, nobody's ever invited me anywhere. So I went. He came to church and he got saved. The gospel is powerful. Amen. People get saved. Amen. You got saved.
Amen.
Don't say you can't be a sower of the seed because you've experienced rejection, or that because of so few people have believed. Don't let that throw you off track. Let's look at the soil here. The soil. People who hear the gospel and their various responses. That's the soil here. The seed is the gospel. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ. And people hear that and how they receive it. This passage gives us the parable, four different types of soil, four different hearts. And the first one is the ground that's hard ground. And I want to tell you, you are responsible for your response to the gospel. Today, you are responsible. If you receive the gospel into your heart or if you reject it. This was sown, the first one was sown on hard ground. Will not accept the truth. My son-in-law-to-be came to visit us over Thanksgiving. And he's from Green Bay. He's never been to Frankenmuth. So my wife's like, let's take him to Frankenmuth. Okay. And so we drove to Frankenmuth. He's never been to Bronner's. I said, okay. I tell you what, while you guys go to Bronner's, I'll get the Suburban washed because it was dirty. My wife's like, oh, thank you. Wash that thing. Wash it, please. I'm like, okay, I won't get to go to Bronner's. They went to Bronner's. I went to the car wash. It's better. And I know the salt and the salty roads are coming, so I paid the extra $2 to get the wax, you know. And so I got the car waxed, and a couple days later we were driving and the rain was coming, and boy, the rain was just beating up on that and flying off. And my wife's like, wow, look at that. You must have got it waxed. That's amazing. Look how the water's just beating right off and falling around. I was like, man, I should get the car washed more often. And but that water just hit it and it bounced off. And I think it hurts sometimes where the gospel, they hear it and it just repelled like water off a duck's back. They don't even give it a second thought. Nope, not believing in that. Nope, crazy Christians. Nope, nope. That's the stony ground, or the hard ground, the edge of the road that's all trampled down, and that ground is so hard the seed hits it and it just bounces. Satan comes and takes it and it's gone. The seed is lost and the soul is lost. And they never find salvation. Listen, don't be that kind of hearer. Give an ear to the things of God. Have an open heart. The second one is the stony ground here. They hear and they receive it, but they don't have roots that go deep enough. And when persecution comes, They just leave it. The fellow that helped us build our church in Latvia, the builder, one of the builders there, he had just a heart for seeing churches built, old churches restored. And he said, pray for my son. Pray for my son's faith. He said, you see, when he started to have a heart for the things of God, and he began to take steps of faith, and we finished a church building, and during the church service the news media was there, and they put the camera on my son sitting there in church, and his friends at school saw that, and he went to school and they all started making fun of him for being in church. Ah, we saw you in church. And they started laughing at him. And he said, pray for my son. He's never been in church since. Never been back. That's a heart that the seed, it's gladly received. But when some persecution comes, it dies. Does that happen today here? Yeah. It can happen. Listen, there's people, they've heard the gospel, and they kind of take that as their fire insurance, and that's enough, and they put that in their pocket, and they never do anything else with it, and they never really attempt to grow as Christians. And they stay with very shallow roots. And persecution will come. And I want to encourage you, don't stay there in your life of faith. You need to grow roots that'll go deep so that when persecution comes, you can stand the test. How do you grow deep roots? It's by staying connected to Jesus Christ. Because He's our life. He's the one that gives us growth. How do you stay connected to Jesus Christ? You read His Word. Read the Bible. Read these parables. Read the New Testament. Read the Old Testament. Come to Sunday school and learn and have someone teach you things that maybe you don't know yet. Be with other Christians so you can see and hear and listen how they react to persecution. How they react to questions and problems. Be with other believers. Spend time in prayer. And listen, here's a big one. Be obedient to Christ. Because as you learn from God's Word and you put that into practice, you see that it makes sense and it works in the real world. And then you gain experience. You have real life experience that this Word is true and this Word works. And your faith is strengthened even more. And you begin to have roots. You begin to have a life that's built on a firm foundation. And you're not like this stony ground here. When the sun comes up and it beats down, you're just going to wither and die away. I enjoy speaking to older Christians who've been saved for years and years and years and years. They've got a deep faith. With deep roots. And I want to encourage you, and may God help us not to be stony ground hearers. And then there's those that are the seed that's sown in the ground where thistles and thorns and weeds grow up. Now what's this talking about? This is talking about worries and riches. That'll come and get our eyes off of Jesus Christ. Sometimes riches can become an idol, and Jesus Christ is no longer first place. But what we think about now, it used to be Jesus Christ, and we were so thankful, and we were on fire, and it was fresh, and it was alive. And the things of the world, money, fame, fortune, things, shiny things, new things, takes first place in our mind. And I'm with you. I mean, you know, I like to research new purchases. You can get on the internet and find all the reviews and read about them. Check it out. Look at all the different options. And man, that can take some time, but that's fun. But it can become a god. A God that's never satisfied. And it becomes something that chokes out our spiritual life. And it never grows to fruit, to bear fruit. And on the other hand, the same thing, thorns and thistles can be worries. Some people indulge in things to where it's an idol. Other people indulge in worries. Some people think that they're just not doing right if they're not worrying about stuff. Well, I need to worry about that. And yeah, I need to spend some time worrying about that because that's worthy of my worry. You know that's not scriptural, right? Right? Some people think, well, if I worry about it, I'm putting my time and energy into how important this problem and situation is. It's worthy of my worry. No! These worries can become thorns and thistles that'll choke out your faith. Amen. And your fruitfulness to where it dies. Listen, Worries and riches, it's in the same category here, in the same kind of ground. Maybe today we need to weed the garden so that we can go on to bear fruit. May God help us. Then there's the good ground. The ground where the person hears and they understand. And we talked about that, understand. Not just, oh, I get it, but I get it and I take it. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my King. I'm in His kingdom. I give myself over to it. To hear and understand is the good ground. And when the gospel is preached, repent and believe in Jesus Christ, it's taken in. And Jesus Christ is taken in, and we hear and we believe and we obey. It leads to saving faith where Jesus is the King and we follow Him and we form strong roots. And it doesn't matter the kind of persecution that comes. It doesn't matter the shiny things of the world that would tempt us away from Christ, or the worries and the cares that would take our attention away. Jesus Christ is number one. And then a heart like that will bear fruit. And for a heart like that, it's the focus isn't on, okay, now I need to bear some fruit. Our focus is on abiding in Christ and staying close to Him, and the fruit will naturally come. And don't be discouraged from seed time to harvest takes time. But there's a promise of abundance. It's an interesting parable. There are some who completely missed the meaning of this parable. There are some who didn't even give it a listen. It just rolled right off their back. And I want to encourage you today to give this parable a listen. And ask yourself, what kind of soil is my heart? Listen, we battle with Satan, the flesh, and the world all the time. And you see those three right in here, don't you? Satan takes the seed. The stony ground here battles with the flesh. The thorns and the thistles, the world. This is our battle all the time. And listen, we don't want to live with weak roots, because storms and heat, they're coming. And we need to have deep roots. And I want to encourage you, maybe today you need to do some weeding in the garden and allow Christ to be first place. Maybe you need to weed out some anxiety and some worry, and roll those things over onto Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to not look so much at the things that this world can give you, but keep an eye on the kingdom of God. Maybe you've been discouraged in your witnessing. You said, well, I'm just not fruitful at that. God just hasn't given me a lot of souls, and I've tried to witness and nothing's come of it. Don't give up. Don't quit. You sow the seed in faith. Sow it everywhere. Sow it on stony ground. Sow it on the hard-packed earth. Sow it among thorns. Sow it everywhere. And there'll be places where that seed will find good ground. And there'll be a harvest. Don't be discouraged. This has been the case of sowers throughout the century. Join Christ in sowing often and in all places. Don't be discouraged. There will be a harvest. Maybe you're here today and you say, Andy, I've never allowed this seed to grow in my heart. But today God's spoken to my heart. And I don't want to shut him out. Well, I encourage you just to agree with God that you're a sinner. When Jesus says repent, that's what he's saying. Call your sin what it is in God's eyes, sin. And humbly come before him and say, God, I'm a sinner. I admit it. I admit it. God, I want you to save me from my sins. And believe the gospel. Believe Jesus Christ, that he's God the Son. God came into this world. He lived a perfect and sinless life. And he died on the cross as a substitute, a sacrifice for our sins. He died for our sins in our place, so that we could receive forgiveness. He satisfied the justice of a holy God by dying for us. And he suffered, and he bled, and he died. And just like he said, on the third day he rose again, proving that he's God the Son, proving that he has power over death, proving that he has power to forgive sins, proving that he can give you eternal life. And we're told, believe it. Repent and believe the gospel. And receive it with an open heart, with a trusting heart, with a believing heart. Say, God, I don't know how, I don't know why. I understand that you love me, that this is through grace. And I humbly come before you as a sinner. And I'm trusting Christ today to save me. Do that today. Don't wait. If God is speaking to your heart, if he's knocking on your heart, if he's telling you, that's true, then believe the gospel today. Trust him today. You won't regret it. You'll never find a Christian who says, I regret it. God will forgive you of your sins. He'll wash them away. And he'll give you eternal life in heaven. He'll give you the Holy Spirit in your heart to give you strength to grow and to change and to be more like Christ. And it'll be exciting. It'll be an adventure. And it'll be good. I encourage you to do that today. Pastor?